Hello and welcome to this archive recording of a live-streamed exploring session I produced at the beginning of the plague outbreak in the year of our Cat Lord 2020. Beware the Cat by William Baldwin is a most excellent book, which I have since performed readings of and am currently rehearsing a solo show of. These exploring sessions, five in total, were live-streamed in the afternoon on my personal YouTube channel, because Beyond didn't actually have one at that particular moment, so I am finally archiving it on this stream and creating a Beware the Cat playlist while I'm at it. Beyond some minor cuts, I'm leaving the recordings mostly as recorded, with much of the blah 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 in place. There are errors in my reading and initial thoughts, but that's part of the process. Till next time, I leave you with Past Robert. Hello, and welcome to the Beyond Shakespeare podcast live and this last episode of Beware the Cat. I am your host and performer, Robert Crichton. I think there's probably no point in explaining where we are in any detail, because we're nearly at the end. If you haven't listened, go back to the previous episodes. Broadly speaking, we are in the middle of a conclave of cats. The cats reporting back to their master and generally telling tales of what humankind have been doing. And various trigger warnings here. The cats are a proxy for Catholics, and so this is a very much an anti-Catholic Protestant text written in the mid-16th century. So this is not an ecumenical matter. There is an agenda here, which obviously we these days do not approve of. But it does supply a context for these listeners in, these spies in the country. That's the paranoia that runs through this text. Additional trigger warning there is, albeit within the cat world, some unpleasant sexual politics, and we're going to be approaching some really quite unpleasant business to do with a sexual assault on cats. So that's something you might not want to listen to. It also goes into some bawdy detail of some other odds and ends in a much less problematic way. But there is material that you might want to skip by. And as we reach the end of this narration, this is what is overheard by Master Streamer. But remember, Master Streamer is telling this story to the person who's actually writing the book, William Baldwin, and that's where I'll pause at the end, just before the final section, as we return to the actual author's detailing. So, we're in the midst of Master Streamer's third oration, where, say, a selection of cats are all sat around telling tales of things that have happened to them out in the country. And we are currently listening to Mouse Slayer as Mouse Slayer finishes her tale of her dame having tricked an innocent woman, otherwise invincible, bringing her to whoredom. This is some of the things that happened to the cat next. What the cat got up to on its travels. Shortly after this young woman begged me of my dame, and I to her I went, and dwelled with her all that year, in which year, as all ye cats in the parish can tell, I never disobeyed or transgressed our holy law, refusing the concupiscential company of any cat, nor the act of generation, although sometimes it were more painful to me than pleasant, if it were offered in due and convenient time. Indeed, I confess, I refused catch rat and bit him and scrat him, which our law forbiddeth. For on a time this year, when I was great with kittling, which he of a proud stomach refused to help get, although I earnestly wound him thereto, what time beloved so much, his own daughter Slickskin. Yea, all other seemed vile in his sight, which also esteemed him as much as he did the rest, that is, never a whit. In this time, I say, when I was great with Kitling, I found him in a gutter eating of a bat, which he had caught that evening, and, as you know, not only we, but also women in our case, do oft long for many things. So I then longed for a piece of the cur-mouse, and desired him, for saving of my kitten, to give me a morsel, although it were but of the leather-like wing. But he, like an unnatural ravenous churl, ate it all up, and would give me none. And as men do nowadays to their wives, he gives me bitter words, saying, "We longed for wantonness, and not for any need." This grieved me so sore, chiefly for the lack of that I longed for, that I was sick 2 days after, and had it not been for good Dame Isigrim, who brought me a piece of a mouse, and made me believe it was of a back, I had lost my burden by a kittening 10 days before my time. When I was recovered and went abroad again about 3 days, this cruel churl met me, and would needs would be doing with me, to whom, when I made may, I had made answer according to his desert, and told him withal, which he might see to by my belly what case I was in. Tush, there was no remedy. I think he had eaten savoury, but for all ye I could say, he would have his will. I, seeing that, and that he would ravish me perforce, I cried out for help as loud as ever I could squail, and defend myself till succour came. I scrat and bit as hard as ever I could, and this notwithstanding, had not Isigrim and her son Lightfoot come the sooner, who both are here and can witness, he would have marred me quite. Now, whether I might in this case refuse him, and do as I did, we out of breach of our holy law, which forbiddeth us females to refuse any males not exceeding the number of 10 in a night, judge you, my lords, to whom the interpretation of the laws belongeth. Yes, surely, quoth a grisard. For in the 3rd year of the reign of Glacion, at a court holden in Catwood, as appeareth in the records, they decreed upon that exception, forbidding any male in this case to force any female, and upon great penalties. But to let this pass, whereof we were satisfied in your purgation of the 1st night, tell us how you behaved, you, with your new mistress. And that as briefly as you can, for lo, where Corleonis is almost plain west, whereby you know the goblin's hour approacheth. After I was come to my young mistress, quoth Mouse Slayer, she made much of me, thinking I had been mine old dame's daughter, and many tales she told thereof to her gossips. My master also made much of me, because I would take meat in my foot, and therewith put it into my mouth and seed. In this house dwelled an ungracious fellow, who, delighting much in unhappy turns, on a time took 4 walnut shells, and filled them full of soft pitch, and put them upon my feet, and then put my feet into cold water till the pitch was hardened. And then he let me go. But, Lord, how strange it was to me to go in shoes, and how they vexed me. For when I ran upon any steep thing, they made me slide and fall down. Wherefore, all that afternoon, for anger that I could not get off my shoes, I hid me in a corner of the garret which was boarded, under which my master and mistress lay. And at night, when they were all in bed, I spied a mouse playing in the flower, and when I ran at her to catch her, my shoes made such a noise upon the boards that it waked my master, who was a man very fearful of sprites. And when he and his servants hearkened well to the noise, which went pit-pat, as it had been trampling of a horse, they waxed all afraid, and said surely it was the devil. And as one of them, an hardy fellow, even he had shooed me, came up the stairs to see what it was. I went downward to meet him, and made such a rattling that when he saw my glistering eyes, he fell down backward and brake his head, crying out, "The devil, the devil, the devil!" Which his master and all the rest hearing ran naked as they were into the street, and cried the same cry, whereupon the neighbours arose and called up among other an old priest, who lamented much the lack of holy water, which they were forbidden to make. Howbeit, he went to church and took out of the font some of the christening water, and took his chalice and wafer unconsecrate, and put on a surplice and his stole about his neck, and fetched out of his chamber a piece of holy candle which he had kept 2 year. And herewith he came to the house, and with his candle light in one hand, and a holy water sprinkle in the other, and his chalice and wafer in sight in his bosom, and a pot of font water at his girdle, up he came praying toward the garret, and all the people after him. And when I saw this, and thinking I should have seen some mass that night as many nights before in other places I had, I ran towards them, thinking to meet them. But when the priest heard me come, and by a glistening had seen me, down he fell upon them that were behind him. We, with his chalice, hurt one, with his water-pot another, and his holy candle fell into another priest's breech beneath, who, while the rest were horsening me, was conjuring our maid at the stair-foot, and ought to besinged him. For he was so afraid with the noise of the rest which fell, that he had not the power to pull it out. When I saw all this business, down I ran among them, where they lay on heaps, but such a fear as they were all in them, I think, was never seen before. For the old priest, which was so tumbled among them that his face lay upon a boy's bare arse, which belike was fallen headlong under him, was so astonished that when the boy, which for fear beshit himself, had all to raid his face, he neither felt nor smelt it, nor removed from him. Then went I to my dame, which lay among the rest, God knoweth very madly, and so mewed and curled about her, that at last she said, "I ween it be my cat." That, hearing the knave that had chewed me, and calling to mind that erst he had forgot, so it was indeed, and nothing else. That, hearing the priest, in whose holy breach the holy candle all this while lay burning, he took heart of grace, and before he was spied rose up, and took the candle in his hand, and looked upon me, and all the rest of the company, and fell a-laughing at the handsome lying of his fellow's face. The rest, hearing me, came every man to himself, arose, and looked upon me, and cursed the knave that had shewed me, who would in no case be a-known of it. This done, they got hot water, and dissolved the pitch, and plucked off my shoes, and then every man after they desired each other not to be acknowledging of this night's work, for shame, departed to their lodgings, and all our household went to bed again. When all the cats and I, to four company, had laughed at this apace, when all the cats, and I too for company, had laughed at this a space, Mouse Slayer proceeded, and said, "After this about 3/4 of a year, which was at Whitsuntide last, I played another prank, and that was this. The gentleman, who by mine old dame's lying and my weeping was accepted and retained of my mistress, came often home to our house, and always in my master's absence was doing with my dame. Wherefore, desirous ye my master might know it, for they spent his goods so lavishly between them that notwithstanding his great trade of merchandise, they had unweeting to him almost undone him already. I sought how I might bewray them, which, as hap would, at time remembered, afore, came to pass thus. while this gentleman was doing with my dame, my master came in so suddenly that he had no leisure to pluck up his hose, but with them about his legs ran into a corner behind the painted cloth. And there stood I, warrant you, as still as a mouse. As soon as my master came in, his wife, according to her old wont, caught him about the neck and kissed him, and devised many means to have got him forth again. But he, being weary, sat down and called for his dinner. And when she saw there was none other remedy, she brought it him, which was a mess of pottage and a piece of beef, whereas she and her frenion had broke their fast with capons, hot venison, marrowbones, and all other kind of dainties. I, seeing this, and minding to show my master how he was ordered, got behind the cloth, and to make the man speak, I all too pawed him with my claws upon his bare legs and buttocks, and for all this he stood still and never moved. My master heard me, and thinking I was catching a mouse, bade my dame go help me, who, knowing what beast was there, came to the cloth and called me away, saying, "Compass, compass," and cast me meat into the flour. But I, minding another thing, and seeing that scratching could not move him, suddenly I leapt up and caught him by the genitals with my teeth, and bit so hard that when he had restrained more than I thought any man could, at last he cried out and caught me by the neck, and thinking to have strangled me. My master, not smelling but hearing such a rat as was not wont to be about such walls, came to the cloth and lifted up, and there he found this bare-assed gentleman strangling me, who had his stones in my mouth. And when I saw my master, I let go my hold, and the gentleman his, and away I ran immediately to the place where now I dwell, and never came there since, so that how they agreed among them I cannot tell, nor never durst go see for fear of all my life. Thus have I told you, my good lords, all things that have been done and happened through me, wherein you perceive my loyalty and obedience to all good laws, and how shamelessly and falsely I am accused for a transgressor. And I pray you, as you have perceived, to certify my liege, great Camelot, whose life doth Haggart and Hegg preserve, of my behaviour. When Grisard, Isagrim, and Poyle Noah, and the commissioners, had heard this declaration and the request of Mouse Slayer, they praised her much. And after that, they had commanded her, with all the cats that's to be on St. Catherine's Day next in chewing at Catness, whereas they say Camoloch would hold his court, they departed. And I glad to have heard what I heard, and sorry that I had not understood what was said the other two nights before, got me to bed and slept a good. And in the next morning, when I went out into the garden, I heard a strange cat ask of our cat what Mouse Slayer had done before the commissioners those three nights. To whom our cat answered, that had purged herself of crime that was laid to her charge by Catrat, and declared her whole life for 6 years' space, wherefore in the first 2 years, as we said, she said she had five masters, a priest, a baker, a lawyer, a broker, and a butcher, all whose prithy deceits, which she had seen, she declared the first night. In the next 2 years she had seven masters, a bishop, a knight, apothecary, a goldsmith, an usurer, an alchemist, and a lord, whose cruelty, study, craft, cunning, folly, waste, and oppression she declared the second night, wherein this doing was notable. Because the knight, having a fair lady to his wife, gave his mind so much to his book that he seldom lay with her. This cat, pitying her mistress, and minding to fray him from lying alone, on a night when her master lay from her, got to his mouth, and drew so his breath that she almost stifled him. A like part she played with the usurer, who being rich and yet lived miserably, and feigning him poor, she got one day while his treasure chest stood open, and hid her therein, whereof he not knowing locked her in it. And when at night he came hither again, and heard one stirring there, and thinking it had been the devil, he called the priest, and many other persons to come and help him to conjure. And when, in their sight, he opened his chest, she leapt out, and they saw what riches he had, and ceased him thereafter. As for what was done and said yesternight, both of my Lord Grisard's hard adventure, and of Mouse Slayer's bestowing her other two last years, which was nothing in comparison of any other 2 years before, I need not tell you, for you were present and heard it yourself. This talk low I heard between these two cats, and then I got me in and break my fast with bread and butter, and dined at noon with common meat, which so repleted my head again, and my other powers in the first digestion, that by night time they were as gross as ever they were before. For when I hearkened at night to other two cats, which, as I perceived by their gestures, spake of the same matter, I understood never a word. Lo, here have I told you all, chiefly you, my lord, a wonderful matter, and yet as incredible as it is wonderful, notwithstanding, when I may have convenient time, I will tell you other things which these eyes of mine have seen, and these ears of mine have heard, and that of mysteries so far passing this, that all which I have said now shall in comparison thereof be nothing at all to be believed. In the meanwhile, I will pray you to help to get me some money to convey me on my journey to Caithness, for I have been going thither these 5 years, and was never able to perform my journey. When Master Ferrers had promised that he would, every man shut up his shop windows, which the foresaid talk kept open 2 hours longer than they should have done. And thus ends the third oration. The book closes with an exhortation and a hymn. I have not attempted to find some music to go with the hymn, though maybe I should have done, and maybe that's something for the future. But we now return primarily to Master Ferrer's, William Baldwin's voice, as it were, at the very end here. An exhortation. I knew these things will seem marvellous to many men, that cats should understand and speak, have a governor among themselves, and be obedient to their laws. And were it not for the approved authority of the exatical author of whom I heard it, I should myself be as doubtful as they. But seeing I know the place and the persons with whom he talked of these matters, before he experimented his wonderful and strange confections, I am the less doubtful of any truth therein. Wherefore, seeing he hath in his oration proved that cats do understand us and mark our secret doings, and so declare them among themselves, that through help of the medicines by him described, any man, as he did, understand them, I would counsel all men to take heed of wickedness, and eschew secret sins and privy mischievous counsels, lest to their shame all the world at length do know thereof. But if any man for doubt hereof do put away his cat, then shall his so doing testify his secret naughty living. He is a more ashamed his cat should see than God and his angels we see mark and behold all men's closest things. And that we may take profit by this declaration of Master Streamer, let us so live both openly and privily, that neither of our cat, admitted to all secrets, be able to declare aught of us to the world, save that what is laudable and honest. Nor the devil's cat, which will we, or nil we, seeth and writeth all our ill doings, have aught to lay against us afore the face of God, who not only with shame, but with everlasting torment, will punish all sin and wickedness. And ever, when you goest about anything, call to mind this proverb. Beware the cat, not to tie up thy cat till thou have done, but to see ye neither thine own nor the devil's cat, which cannot be tied up, find anything therein, wherefore to accuse thee to any shame. Thus doing thou canst not do amiss, but shalt have such good report through thy cat's declaration, that thou shalt in recompense of Master Streamer's labour, who giveth this warning, sing unto God this hymn of his making. Who givest wit to whales, to apes, to owls, and kindly speech to fish, to flesh, to fowls, and spirit to men in body and soul clean, to mark and know what other creatures mean, which hast given grace to Gregory, no pope, no king, no lord, whose treasures are their hope, but sinly priest, which like a streamer waves in ghostly good, despised of foolish knaves. Which hast, I say, given grace to him to know the course of things above and here below, with skill, so great in languages and tongues as never breathed from Mithridates' lungs, to whom the hunter of birds, of mice and rats, did speak as plain as cat that thrunneth hats, by mean of whom is openly bewrayed such things as closely were done and said. To him grant, Lord, with healthy wealth and rest, long life to unload to us his learned breast, with fame so great to overlive his grave, as none I'd erst nor any after have. And thus it was imprinted in the 1580s, in the edition that we're working from here. Thus ends Beware the Cat. And thank you if you have joined this live stream.
And that was my Plague Year exploration of Beware the Cat by William Baldwin. Didn't I sound so young? If you'd like to hear more from this text, you're in luck, as not only are there a host of readings and discussions around this text, but I'm also working on a solo production right now. If you'd like it to come to your area of the United Kingdom, there's a link in the show description about how to get in touch. You'll also find there are links to all the audio recordings and discussions of the text available now. And if you like generally what we do, support our work at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare, or you can throw us a one-off bonus at ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare. Goodbye.